I'm a business guy who understands the business of healthcare. You know, I'm 15 years sober now too. So, you know, food was another addiction that replaced alcohol. Our hygienists are called hygieniuses, and they educate patients for their whole body health.
Today's guest is Gary Cady, a successful entrepreneur revolutionizing the dental industry. Gary has made millions of dollars, overcome alcohol addiction, and created healthy relationships with his family and his past trauma in childhood. Gary joins us today to share his secrets to health, wealth, and happiness.
I hated it, Anthony. Every night, I knew I had a problem, but it was the only way to get through life. I do want to say something about money. For those that are like stuck on money, you create money when the purpose is high enough. And the science is insane because like 50% of heart attacks can be traced back to oral pathogens. And that's not even being discussed in today's world.
All right, Gary, welcome officially to the Fit Father and Fit Mother Project podcast, my friend. I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a privilege and a pleasure, man. 31 pounds down, Anthony, because of you.
Let's talk about that because, you know, it's funny. You haven't actually gone through our programs, but we met at a business networking marketing event. We happened to be sitting next to each other, and just give people a little backstory of our initial connection. I think that'll be a fun place to start.
Well, I'm looking at you. I'm like, yeah, this guy's in good shape. He's healthy. I'm like, we started chatting and I'm like, I'm ready to go. Like, I finally reached my place where it's like, it's time to make a change. And you looked at me and you go, yeah, you could lose 30 pounds. And I'm like, this, can I swear?
Why not? Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to. But like, I in my head, the bubble above my head, Anthony, was like, are you kidding me? You know, my interpretation was I'm doing better than a guy who's 59 years old. Pretty much everybody else, I got to lose 5 or 10. You told me 30. So it was a gift though, man. You know, sometimes when people tell you the truth, man, and then you get, and then I kept pounding you for the, like, what do I do? And you said, fast till noon, here, do this shake. Here's what you want at dinner. And I just followed the system. And, you know, I think that came from, you know, a lot of the stuff that I dealt with in my, you know, that we discussed, which is like, you know, I'm 15 years sober now too. So, you know, food was my, was another addiction that replaced alcohol for me.
For sure. And I think it's really powerful for me to reflect back to you. You've been, in my perception, so successful and whole in so many areas of your life. I mean, massively successful business, successful family. You have the health thing dialed in now. It's just so clear to me that you're thriving and I'm really proud of you. And I know that's not by accident. Like, you have a lot of systems and areas of life. So the trajectory of the conversation of what I want to take it is just honestly get to hear and extract so much wisdom from you first on oral health and some dentistry, because I think it's a very underappreciated aspect of the physical health is understanding what's going on in the mouth. Then yeah. I do definitely want to talk about addiction and you being sober, because everyone listening to this has some degree of addiction they're going through. And then of course, how you break down health in the categories. So let's just get straight into oral health. Like, what do people not know about this? Like, why is it more important than people realize for like the overall body health to take care of the mouth? And what does a healthy mouth actually look like?
Yeah, as you know, like I'm connected to the dental industry. And for years, dentists were like, you know, because medicine was like, it was like dentist neck up, medicine neck down. And, you know, there's this separation. And I helped dentists on the business side of their business. And what I got to see was there was no value proposition there. It was basically telling people, asking people what's wrong with them and look, searching for symptoms. And then all of a sudden, a doctor's like, yeah, we can put a crown on that. We can fill that. So I saw this dysfunctional business situation because they weren't getting to the root cause of things. And I'm a root cause guy. I want to know why things are at its root so that we can change it sustainably. So my dad had a heart attack. And the next day I went into a dental office and the hygienist, I was working with a bunch of hygienists, and they were like, how was his periodontal condition? And Anthony, I was like, I cannot believe you're asking me about his periodontal condition, because I'm not a doctor. I'm a business guy who understands the business of healthcare. So, but I didn't understand the science behind the mouth-body connection. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, I filmed a documentary about, it's called Say Ah, and in 2013, and it revolutionized the dental industry in that the dental practitioners themselves started to look at themselves as healthcare practitioners. We created a category of our mutual friend who named it, Michael Fishman named it, Complete Health Dentistry. And we've installed this model into 6,000 practices across North America, now Australia, Africa, the Caribbean. And it basically brings an education system for the soft tissue, the bacteria in the mouth, microbiome, and then once it gets into the bloodstream, what it can do. And the science is insane because like 50% of heart attacks can be traced back to oral pathogens. Incredible, like incredible. And that's not even being discussed in today's world. So this is really cutting edge stuff, but it's really founded on science. It's a game changer.
Yeah, and I wanna hammer on that a little bit more with a couple of facts that I know and you can expand on. Basically, we have natural bacteria in our mouth. And like when we wake up in the morning, we get that slime off our teeth. Like that's the bacteria forming a slime on the teeth. And it's normal to have, just like we have a gut microbiome, we have the oral microbiome. But unfortunately, when we don't have good oral care, like there can be pathogenic bacteria that build up, let alone if they get into the gums or deeper into the mouth. And that creates like low level inflammation. And that's kind of smoldering constantly. So you may have inflamed lymph nodes. And then also some of these bacteria, and maybe some of the strep and other kinds of bacteria, can actually get into the heart and start to like form plaques through that inflammation. So is that kind of part of the mechanism that's understood?
That's exactly it. And think of it this way. Over 50% of Americans have some form of periodontal disease. That's gum disease, the soft tissue, the pink tissue around your teeth. Over 50% diagnosed in dental practices last year, 8%. Treated, 4%. And it's because it's asymptomatic, Anthony. And here's the thing. Your gums are the surface of my hand. That's how much surface area is in your mouth. When there's chronic inflammation in the mouth, the rest of the body cannot fight its inflammation because it's chronically trying to manage the inflammation in your mouth. And it's left unsaid. And then there's whole systemic connections of heart attack, stroke, diabetes, all the circulatory issues that go on with that, the endothelium. You know, we have dentists that are using nitric oxide in the office. Like that's part of the supplementation. So we now know the whole mouth-body connection. We now have a delivery vehicle in dental practices, and now we're bringing medicine and dentistry together to collaborate, and it's really profound. It's been an amazing experience and a real pure joy to transform our industry, and this is the top of the food chain.
Yeah, that's amazing. Literally the top of the food chain, where it all starts, like the chewing in the mouth. And a couple other facts, because we're on the oral health discussion, that I think are fun and relevant, is I interviewed one of the world's leading nitric oxide experts last year, Dr. Nathan Bryant. And he taught me that it's actually the bacteria that live on the back of the tongue that initiate the process of actually creating nitric oxide. So it's like, it's not just like the idea that bacteria in your mouth is bad. Bacteria in your mouth is normal. You just don't want inflammation in the gums, the wrong kind of bacteria. And you actually need the right kind of bacteria on the back of your tongue to create this gas called nitric oxide that is a vasodilator, increases circulation, improves your heart health, improves the amount of blood that goes to your brain. So you want that bacteria. And what he found from studies is actually using mouthwash and fluoride toothpaste and some of these heavy antiseptics in the mouth actually can kill that nitric oxide bacteria and create more oral problems. So it's a little complex in terms of like what you do. You want clean teeth, but you don't necessarily, in Dr. Nathan Bryant's opinion, want to be using like mouthwash all the time. So this is why it's a subtly nuanced game.
Exactly. And we're working with a company that has a gum that you chew in the morning that facilitates that microbiome. And the supplementation, when you're 60, I just turned 60 this year, I produce almost no nitric oxide at all. So I supplement it and I check myself every day and I'm like, I feel amazing, you know. And I didn't have a problem in this area. I like being fully transparent, but erectile dysfunction, heart, stroke, everything that's, has an endothelium connected to it can really, that's a root cause issue. And who knew that, I didn't know. And it took a non-dentist to locate this. You know, I find that people that are not trained a certain way can see things that are breakthroughs. We had our breakthrough and now we're built out this whole education system and this whole health system inside of a dental office. Last thing about this, Anthony, I'll say, we look at the dental practice as the hub of the community. everybody goes to their hygienist twice a year. Our hygienists are called hygieniuses, and they educate patients in a way for their whole body health. We have them reading the medical history form, tying to the chronic disease, to the mouth, and then quarterbacking healthcare from the hygiene chair. It's a really powerful vehicle.
Yeah, it is cool to think about it in that way, how important a proper like dentist community connection is to help this. And like, also if you have kids right now, I mean, improving their oral health, if they're eating a lot of sugar, getting constant cavities, using too much mouthwash, like that is going to set them up for honestly, just like more health challenges down the road. So that's that. And one other thing I'll say, final thing on the oral, and then we'll move into maybe some of this whole life success and definitely talk about addictions as well, is you can actually test your nitric oxide. Like I know you have, you can use test strips and test some of your saliva and see how much of that bacteria that produces the good nitric oxide you have. And if you're low, there's certainly ways to raise that. We have a full episode with Dr. Nathan Bryan on nitric oxide. You can find that wherever you listen or view our podcast. Okay. So let's get into addiction. I love, one of the things I love about you, Gary, is how open you are, and also like how successful you are. And that combination is very powerful, where you're very vulnerable, and you clearly went through a lot of addiction with alcohol. And I don't know if everyone listening to this has necessarily had that exact addiction, but they probably have something in their life that they felt struggle with cravings and urges around. And so let's get into your story around that and what you've learned about changing your relationship to all things addictive and how that affects all the other areas of your life.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I didn't know what I didn't know. I couldn't even see that I had a problem. You know, my wife came to me one day and she said, my nickname's Party Fresh, Anthony, you know, give me a little alcohol and the party just goes. Right. And it worked until it didn't. I didn't realize I was using it as a coping mechanism, because I've created all these egoic structures of like what would have me survive in the world. And whenever they were threatened, I was suffering. And when I suffered, I drank. So it was really a self-medicated just ecosystem that, you know, you don't know until you interrupt it. Mm-hmm. And so when my wife came to me 15 years ago, my son was diagnosed with autism. And so, you know, circumstances are really good for addictions, because you have to stare them down, because there was no way that I was going to stay married. First of all, 85% of people with kids on the spectrum get divorced. There was no way that I was able to get, I couldn't continue to cope, because I would like, I hated it, Anthony. Every night I knew I had a problem, but it was the only way to get through life. And so, like, I'll tell you, I had workaholism, alcoholism, and autism, three isms within, like, it was all collapsed at one time. It was in 2007. And my wife came to me. She goes, listen, Party Fresh, you don't have to quit drinking, but you can't stay here, because we were living in Carefree, Arizona at the time. She goes, we're going to be moving back to New York. The services here are horrible. We're going to New York. We're moving here. I had a business, a 5-year lease, employees everywhere. She goes, you'll figure it out. And I do want to say something about money for those that are like stuck on money. You create money when the purpose is high enough. That I learned from that lesson. I just want to put that up and we can come back to that later. But what happened was, basically I had to look in the mirror and I called the guy who I knew, a dear friend who had 36 years of sobriety, and said, what do I do? My wife said, this is it. And I needed, just like I needed you to tell me I was 30 pounds overweight, I needed my wife to come and go, boom. It's like booze, family, choose. Mm-hmm. Booze, family, choose. And you know, we're gifted, even though it was painful that day, we're gifted with turning points in our life, because if things aren't painful, you don't take a look at it. We typically go into avoidance and denial. Avoidance and denial, I think, is the biggest things that are affecting the world, because the minute I handhold somebody and bring them closer to it and show them that it's okay, they take action. That's how we get change to be done in dental practices. And that's what I needed. I needed you to say, hey, you're 30 pounds overweight and here's what you need to do. Hey, you're drinking too much. She told me to go figure it out, but she didn't tell me she was, I had to stop drinking. She just said, you can't come with me. And I saw the loss of that. And loss is actually a change agent for me.
For sure. One of the powerful questions I took from what you shared is, as like, basically, what do I turn to as a way to like cope with the stresses of my life? And mm-hmm. for you, it was interesting that like the alcohol, it all starts out as something that's fun and somewhat beneficial. Yeah. And then it turns upon itself into something that's destructive. And I think the people that are the healthiest long term have healthy outlets to deal with stress. So like right now, if and when you experience stress, like what are your healthy outlets like to decompress or to reconnect? Like you obviously are not drinking now. So what are you doing?
Connection is the opposite of addiction. I read that in Ben Hardy's book. I forget, it's one of his first book, if you know Ben. And there was one line that I took away from that book. His dad was an addict, so he wrote that in there. And I was like, that was everything. I was disconnected from myself. Like I would be here, but I wouldn't be here. I was so numbed out to everything. And addictions are isolators. They take us into our own world. And largely what happens is in the program that I'm in, is really, it's because we're self-centered and we have self-centered fear, fear of not getting what we want or fear of losing what we have. And then we're having a monologue with ourselves, with our own voice, telling us stuff. So the egoic structure is playing conversations with us. And it's like, do you ever see like in a cartoon, I always liken it to the cats that are going, rear, rear, rear. And it's like, you have this combative like conversation in your head and there's no way out. And so what I was doing was I just wanted to shut it down temporarily because I hated being in that conversation, but I didn't know how to do it. So there's some things to do. Like first is like really getting a strong spiritual connection. Spirituality is one of the root causes of healing. And I thought it was religion. Spirituality is not religion. So that's number one. Number two, making amends was key for me. Like really cleaning up, the breakdowns and facing face to face, like talking to my parents and like my dad beat me as a kid. And that was part of the trauma. A lot of addiction, I'm going to say all of it in my experience is directly connected to some form of trauma. Too much, too fast, without warning. That's the definition of trauma. So if you've had that somewhere along the way, you get caught on that. And then I found coping mechanisms to go, you know, figure that out. So I worked since I was 8. I'm a workaholic, or I used to be. And by the way, I now have a coaching company for executives to shut down that type A overachieving mindset and heal in the 5 domains of health. I define them in 5 areas: physical health, financial health, social health, mental health, and spiritual health. And so, and if those, one of those 5 domains are out, it affects all others, you know, so it's, they're all connected in my world. Like if I don't have my physical health, well, everything else falls apart. If I don't have enough money to handle my affairs, that affects that. If I'm not connected socially, forget. If my mental state is like it used to be, I'll tell you, Anthony, I didn't want to live and I didn't want to die. So I was in a spot where like, what do I do? Like, okay, like what do you, and there was 3 years when I had severe panic attacks. Like, holy crap. Like I couldn't walk down a street without like, you know, scare jumping, you know? So, you know, anybody out there that's suffering, you know, please, you know, there is help. I didn't have to go and call suicide hotline, but like I was raising my hand for help. And by the way, that was probably the root opportunity for anybody if they want to take action. If we learned anything out of the pandemic, asking for help is a strength, not a weakness. And so often our egos think it's like, if I don't know this, I should know this. Oh, I'm in this field. I'm in the healthcare field and I wasn't healthy. And I had to tell the truth about that. And that's the other thing that I've learned in the process, the 3 A's: awareness, acceptance, and action. First, I have to become aware that I have a problem. Then I have to accept it. I'm an alcoholic. I was in denial about it. I go, honey, I was a little drunkity drunk. I was a little slur in my words, minimizing it, and then get into action, which is what I did. I called this guy who had 36 years and he told me what to do. And I just followed it. I followed the system like I followed your system. Surrendering to win is the other mindset. Mm-hmm. Surrendering is not losing who you are, but your ego doesn't want you to do that. Surrendering to win is following a process that somebody's already figured out and you get to the other side.
Nice. I want to spend the rest of the time in our conversation getting into those 5 categories. And I think like, so again, physical, financial, social, mental, and spiritual. People listening to this have a good idea of what physical health looks like in some of the hows to get there. So let's start with financial. Like,
yep.
what do you teach people about money? And I think you're in a unique position to have created a lot of it for yourself and a lot of it for a lot of other people too. So I think you have, and also with your spiritual evolution, like you probably think about money differently than most people. Let's break down the financial pillar and some stuff that we can do in terms of mindset and actions, et cetera, to create more financial health.
I came from zero. Like, we had nothing growing up. So Brett Byrne, who lived across the tracks, he had a lot of stuff. And I'm like, well, why does he have it and I don't? So I go, what do I got to do to figure that out? And basically, I got on jet propulsion of like working hard, working smart, helping people, learning value exchange, those basic premises around money. Money is a creative thing. Money is energy exchanged. That's all it is. But we make it because it's designed to be in a conversation of scarcity. We think that it's scarce to get. It's not. But that's the mindset going in. And that's what kills off all creation, because it's really, it is an abundant thing and you can create massive amounts of it. I came from nothing and I learned the value equation. The value equation is very simple. Help people get their dream outcome. Then what is it going to, you know, what is the time and energy that it takes to get there, right? That's the equation. And then what is the likelihood of that achievement? So if you can take what their dream outcome is on the top of the scale, what help them see the likelihood of that achievement, then give them how much effort it's going to take and how much time and, you know, to effort plus time and money. Once that I just kept that equation in my mind, and that's all I did for dentists. I asked them what they wanted. They couldn't create it on their own. I de-risked it and gave them and showed them how I can do it. And then I said, it's going to take a year to do it and it's going to cost you X number of dollars. You're going to pay me $100,000. I'm going to make you $1 million. And why wouldn't you do that all day? And so basically that's how I built an entire career. And I use that same premise over and over, the value equation. And it works beautifully because you're being of service to other people. You're helping them get more of what they want, less of what they don't. And you're doing it in a way that removes all the risk, the agita, the effort and all that stuff and make it simple for them and they get to the other side. I do want to say this. If you're making money to prove your father wrong, we're in Fit Father here. If that's the reason, you're gonna cap out at how much money you're gonna make. If you want to look at what your motivation is for money. And like when I was trying to buy Porsches to look good for the world, I still bought them, but it was effortful. Now I'm on the other side of that. And you do want to? Can I acknowledge the person that's helped me with money?
Sure.
I think you might know him, Jim Doo at Do Well.
For sure.
Jim Doo is genius around this because I'm never going to learn everything that he has. So, you know, he created a virtual family office for entrepreneurs that do millions, not billions, but he knows the billionaires actually use family offices and it's a game changer. Like I built my company and sold it to my team and did an ESOP. I'm rolling up dental practices and selling them to private equity firms and everybody's making more money than they could ever imagine. There's things that we don't know that we don't know once you reach plateaus in wealth. And it's really important to find people with integrity that have trust, that are brilliant at what they do and pay them to do it and they get it done for you. So like, that's the other thing. I like wash and wear, plug and play. So in every domain, I have a structure behind it. Don't rely on your memory to figure it out. Systems and structures, and it does start at the home. Judith is my wife. I used to call her delicious. She goes, don't call me delicious. Call me smart. I go, my smart wife. And you know why she's smart? Cause she chose me. I go, Anthony, my smart wife is like, I get her on board. Cause like the first thing I tried before I failed when you told me how to lose 30 pounds is I go, I'm going on a keto diet. This makes total sense. I could do it. Meanwhile, there's carbs everywhere. I didn't enroll my wife. You got to be on the same page as your partner at home. If you don't have that, you're never going to get there. Like I was never going to get there. So really going to work on that first one, which is the social, that social connection with your wife is so vital. Or your partner, whoever that is, spouse, you know, friend, dog, whoever you're using as that partner, don't do it alone. Because the default, the accountability, the structures, when I forget, she reminds me, is priceless. Without somebody, and if you don't have somebody, like I didn't have somebody till I was later in life. Take a look at what you got to get. I always think like that partnership lets those other four domains really open up and be sustainable.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I think some people are blessed to have a primary partner who fills that role. But if you don't have that, I mean, you're listening to this, you're in our Fit Father and Fit Mother communities. There's so many people, honestly, I would say an abundance of meaningful social connections if you're willing to be vulnerable and lean in and give and receive. That, I think, is the value equation that works in the social thing, which I guess is the same value equation kind of in the financial thing, pretty similar. All right, let's talk about mental and spiritual. I think those will be interesting pillars to get to next.
Yeah, I tried everything. I probably spent over $1 million in getting my mental health straight. I'm a no drug guy. So I was like, man, I got to get underneath the underneathness. And I've tried everything. I started out in Tony Robbins because that was like my default. So like, but that was the opposite. That just gives me dopamine and gets me jacked up for a week. And then I'm like, that was not solving any problems. Not that it's a bad thing. It's great for some people that need to get motivated, but I didn't need that. You know, I've done, I've tried everything under the sun. But the one thing that worked is called IFS therapy. IFS therapy is internal family systems. And it's basically the belief that there's, because I could not get a therapist to get help. Here's what I've learned about my experience in therapy. And please, this is my experience and my opinion. Therapists would want to ask me about my past and perpetuate that. And I would just go around in circles and I would leave like feeling like shit. And nothing would get resolved, but I would talk about it. And some people do need that. And I think it's valuable. But at some point, like I like getting to root cause and figuring out tools that I can apply. So I went to Karen in Reading, Pennsylvania. And it's a 1 week long. You surrender your phone and you go through a bunch of exercises that addicts go through that, right? But I was sober at the time, about 5 years. This is when I was having those panic attacks. And I go, man, I got to get this mental thing really like dialed in. So I met this guy, Dave, and he's been my therapist ever since. I went there in 2017. And basically, IFS is your mind, body, and soul, but we don't operate from soul. When I'm in my soul and operating from that place, or like in Untethered Soul, chapter 4, great description here, Anthony, called the lucid self. They describe it basically as the space between your mind and your thoughts and feelings. Your body and your thoughts and feelings. That's where, when you can reside in that space, that's the lucid self or what I call spirit, life just flows. I'm not banging into stuff. I'm not like muscling things. I'm not trying to overthink things. I'm not obsessed. I'm not this. I'm just being present and I'm interacting with the world around me moment by moment, right? But then we get hooked, we get pulled out. And so the work that I did that really transformed my mental health, and I literally can say without having to meditate on a daily basis, I have a clean mind. And when I don't, like I used to operate, like I used to, my wife goes, you go from 0 to 100 in like seconds. I go, I idle at 90. Now I idle at 10 because I'm in a parasympathetic state. Yeah. And I was in a sympathetic state. I was flight or fight all the time. And once I reached a parasympathetic state, now using this IFS system, I'm basically hovering at a 10, at a 1 instead of a 10. And it basically is really simple. We have our parts. We have traumatized parts and we have protector parts. And that's those two cats that are fighting each other. Once you identify a traumatized part, I got a little guy, little Diablo. He was beaten as a kid mentally and physically. And by the way, when I made it my amends, I was talking about making an amends to deal with that. I made an amends with my dad and, you know, he did the same with me. I said, I'm sorry, I drank. It probably really, really upset you that I was drinking and I was car surfing. Like my friend would drive me home and I'd be on a car while the car's driving on the roof, like at 2 in the morning, like crazy things, right? And my dad, mom are looking at me, would do that, right? So I probably traumatized you and I apologize for that. And he goes, son, I want you to know, every day I wake up, and he passed away during COVID. My mom and dad passed away from COVID. He said, I'm so sorry I treated you the way I did. I did not want to be the dad that I was. I only did what I did from my father and what he taught me. And I'm so sorry. I was 19 years old when I had you, and I did things that I regret, and I'm sorry to you. You know, we hold on to being self-righteous, Anthony. And when my dad apologized to me, like, I sat, like, I was angry at my dad for a long time. And that healed our relationship. And when he died, I held his hand, and he was like a little baby at the end of his life. We interpret our parents, they're doing the best they can, and they have their shit, and they have their parts, their traumatized parts, and then their protector parts. And it was beautiful. I'm so complete with my dad. My dad actually comes to me all the time. I feel my dad. He talks to me, like, he shows up in things, and I have this beautiful connection. You know, if you take anything away from this session, it's like giving up the right to be right with people is a healing process in all those domains, social, mental, physical, mm-hmm. and all of it. Like, self-righteousness is a silent killer of happiness, freedom, joy, all that stuff. So anyway, yeah.
That's powerful. And I think, like, it's that's really, like, that's kind of like pride, right? Self-righteousness, pride mm-hmm. plus attachment from the root mm-hmm. of the ego in any of these fields is going to keep you stuck and caught in a pattern of feeling like you have it figured out, but really attached to the pain. It's so true. And I mean, it's really beautiful that you got to have this complete experience of healing with your father at the end of life. And I will comment on, just to really plus on, the whole forgiveness. I think when many people have busy minds, it's that mental baggage and that's operating in the background. It's partly due to the nervous system being in a sympathetic drive state, which is probably due to those subconscious thoughts and patterns and energies related to trauma that, when unwound, relaxes the mind and it's less busy. But also the forgiveness component. I did like a week-long meditation course where they track your brainwaves, and like the number one thing that allows your brainwaves to relax into the alpha waves that feel so joyful and creative and present is forgiveness. So you go through your whole life and you forgive basically everything and everyone. And it doesn't mean they need to necessarily be there. It was really beautiful that you and your dad had this cathartic healing moment where both of you were able to give and receive that healing. But I think that's a charge for anyone to listen to this up to this point. If you haven't written down anything in your life that you want to forgive, or who you want to forgive, or what you want to release, like, that would be the action step, I think, from this conversation, would be one powerful one for sure.
Yeah, I do that every night. Like, Where was I selfish? Where was I hard on somebody? Where was I do an inventory. So first is, write down every resentment you have, because every resentment, you have a responsibility in the matter. Most people see resentments as the other person did something for to sure. me, right? So, like, once you can get past that, and then you can actually write it down, write the person down and say what happened, and then say, my responsibility in the matter of this was, you were there. If you weren't there, you wouldn't be resentful of that situation. Yeah. So maybe just being there, and you could just, and so, because this is what was happening with resentments. I was eating the poison apple, hoping the other person died, and I was the one dying. And so this is where pride, ego, self-righteousness, once you kill this off, then you have a clear space, and you hear this thing called one with the world. I became one with the world. And that's why when you tell me I'm 30 pounds overweight, I'm not doing stupid shit in my head, spinning stuff. I'm just going, Anthony said I was 30 pounds overweight. Oh, maybe I am. Let me take the actions he had. And then all of a sudden I resided at, you know, 31 pounds less. And I consistently stay there because I'm not thinking look, I don't know the meaning of anything anymore. Like, the more I know, the more I know I don't know. Because I don't know why that person did what they did. So I thought I knew. So once I gave up being right about everything, I just started cleaning stuff up, and I cleaned it up, not for them. It was a selfish thing. Yeah. I cleaned it up for me, and life got lighter. And then I just make sure I maintain it every night before I go to bed. I have a ritual where I actually do, a step of cleansing through the day. And then I'll tell you, the next day I'll be making calls and apologizing for people right there, because I know the value of keeping my space clean.
I mean, that's one thing you said when you said, Anthony, I don't need to meditate because I have a clean mind. And like, the word mind can mean many things, but a clean soul, a clean space, mental, emotional space. I mean, that's, I think, what all of us would like to experience. And I think this conversation has shown that it's very possible through some direct steps. I mean, I'll give another plus for the experience you have with IFS. That could be something someone looks into, but also to kind of maybe put a full circle insofar as we brush our teeth every night to clean out the debris of the food. This practice that you have now of basically doing your mental, emotional, psycho-spiritual cleaning at the end of every day keeps you healthy with right internal hygiene. And then you're meeting your life experience as it is without the mental projection of that layer of your ego and your pride that's saying it has to be this way or it is this way. You're relaxed. And then I kind of think of your dad too. It's like, it's a really poetic life experience that we have, that we come into this world as these very open and non-constructed babies that then develop and crystallize into egos and then relax, hopefully at the end of life, back into these peaceful, open, flowing babies. And if that's a life trajectory, it's super beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautifully articulated.
Well, Gary, I mean, this was awesome. I mean, I appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us. I know for those who may be in the dental field, you have a lot of ways that you could help them, especially if they're dental business owners. But I know you also help people in a professional capacity with coaching. So please tell us how people can connect with you further, even if they just want to say, yo, Gary, thank you for your wisdom. You know, I took your advice, et cetera. So how can people connect with you?
Yeah, I'll give you my personal email. You can, it's my name at Gmail. So it's Gary, G-A-R-Y-K-A-D-I at Gmail. You can email me direct. I always love to hear from people, whether you want to take on addiction, you want to take on your life. I just started a company called Right This Way Ventures. And it's my five favorite words, Anthony, are Right This Way, Mr. Katie. I love access and freedom. My purpose is to help people to create a freedom to be anything they choose. And so this is, I just sold my company and exited, and now this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to do pre-treats in Italy. And a pre-treat is check yourself before you wreck yourself. It basically is the five domains for, you know, high-level achievers who want to quiet their mind and have a life of fulfillment, and not have to be on the treadmill for the rest of their life. Like, and I realize that I take what I have now achieved for granted, and I want to give it away to people. And that's how I know I keep it.
Amazing. And again, it's G-A-R-R-Y, Gary, K-A-D-I at Gmail. So if you're listening to this right now and this moved you, send this man an email. I mean, that's a powerful little step that you can do. And I know Gary would deeply love to hear from you. So Gary, thank you. Thank you today. I appreciate all that you've shared. And for everyone listening, tune in next time and I'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Fit Father Project podcast. If you love what you heard, please rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts. It really helps spread this show to more men who need this valuable info. To watch full video episodes of this podcast and other motivational videos to inspire your training and more, visit our Fit Father Project YouTube channel. It's free and everything's made for busy guys over 40 like you. Visit youtube.com/FitFatherProject to get access to our entire video library. And finally, if you or someone in your life is interested in becoming a fit father or needs help losing weight, building muscle, and living healthier after age 40, then visit fitfatherproject.com, where you can see our proven programs, supplement line for guys 40 plus, and free meal plan and workouts to get you started. This is Dr. Anthony Balduzzi signing off. I'll see you in the next episode.